They're going to be back with us. You come on in there. Come on. We're going to have a little bit different service this morning. I know most of the time we're going to take up a love offering in a few minutes, but not yet, because our service is going to be a little bit different. We got a lot of things to be thankful for. I was contemplating changing the service, and I don't like to do that because in this little folder right here is a message that I prepared. But this morning, can I talk with you just a few minutes? Come on in. Have a seat. This morning I was listening to Bill Roberts. Anybody listen to Bill Roberts in the morning? I listen to him. I like Bill, and he sells real estate. I'm not overly crazy about that, but I mean, that's okay. You got to buy a house. He'll probably be as good as any of them. But I was listening to a song, and then y'all played a song that "Thank You, Lord," which is an old song from years ago. And I'm afraid sometimes we forget to be thankful. I think sometimes we forget. Our brother over here, our little bitty short one here, he's from here, but he's hauled him off to Georgia now. And that church out there, buddy, I'd have to get my 9mm out to keep him back out of here, more than likely. But he has surgery in the morning. This will be his third hip replacement, if I'm not mistaken. This was the second time or the third time on the one they're doing now. The third time. Third time on this hip. I think he had both of them replaced, if I'm not mistaken. No, just right side, and he's got to have that done, and you just don't imagine what he's been through. I mean, you don't know. If you ever watch Alan walk, you know the pain he's going through the hip replacement. But I open your Bibles up just for a few minutes, and we're not going to have a junior church this morning. We're going to be done in just a few minutes. I'm going to go directly into a message, and it won't be long because I don't have any notes, and I've talked for years. I'm used to having notes. I do have some notes, but they're only in my head. That means there's a limited space there. My hard drive doesn't carry a whole lot, so you're fortunate. Amen? You say amen to this? I thought you'd like that. But look with me, if you will, in Luke 15. I was going to preach on temptation, but I thought, you know what? I want to preach more about being thankful. I want to preach more about being thankful. I want to show you an old boy that I can identify with in Luke 15. You know the story of the prodigal son. Amen? You know the story. I mean, everybody in here has heard of this old boy. Well, that was Jim Lester. That was me. There ain't no doubt in my mind, and you too, probably to a degree. I realize that, but I'm going to move all the way down to verse 18 in just a moment. And the first part of it tells you a little bit about him. He goes to his father and he asked him to give me. And his father divides up everything that he's got, gives it to the old boy. And you know what he does with it? Very typical. Like if y'all had won that big old Powerball thing, that'd be you today, to be honest with you. $500 million, amen. If you tithe on it, I could actually say amen, praise the Lord. Go, you tithe on it, we'll build a building. You say, preacher, would you do that in a heartbeat, amen? And I guarantee you I would. You can take the money from the devil and use it, amen. And that's what that mess is, but I won't get off into that. If you want to make money, go to work. That's the Bible way, praise the Lord. Get a job. If you don't, then don't expect to eat. That's what Scripture says, but that's free. But this morning, I want to give you some thoughts here. This boy gets in trouble, he joins himself to the citizens of a far country. You remember the story? He wasn't where he was supposed to be. Back in 1958, I was born in 54, so in 1958, who's in here? Which one of my grandyoungers is closest to 4 years old? Which one would that be? Easton, Chloe, whichever one there, I thought about this the other day. I was listening, and when I was 3.5 years old, of course, my real father and my real mother were sorry individuals. Y'all familiar with the word sorry? They were no count. They were worthless individuals. My real biological father had 20-some children by four different women. And the mother who biologically gave me and my three sisters up, I'm the oldest, I have three sisters younger than me, she signed us off at the hospital in Greensboro, North Carolina, every one of us at birth, because she said I had nowhere for me to go. She was living in the back of a Cadillac. My father owned a restaurant, I would call it a dive today, and it had a big chicken on the front there. He sold a lot of fried chicken, but he was a sorry individual. He raised no children. He had 25 kids and took care of none of them. But in 1958, I was almost 4 years old. I was living at the time with an orphanage. And what they do is people that want children, they call it adoption. And so they bring the children out, and the family gets to meet you. And, of course, I remember going out to Route 1, Box 411, Summerfield, North Carolina. I remember that. I remember that because I went out there and I got to stay. They didn't take you away at the time. My mother could not have children. My father had two other brothers. They had all of them had girls. I was the great hope for the genealogy to pass on this name. Amen. Now y'all know what happened. My dad would probably whoop me when I get to heaven. Amen. Because all I had was girls. Now I love my girls. Don't misunderstand me. But my point is this. I got to the, I got down there at Route 1. It was a farm. My mom and dad farmed, and they didn't have a lot. They didn't have a lot of anything but love. But they wanted children. My mother had five miscarriages. You folks who've ever been through that, you know the turmoil. She couldn't have children, and she had one boy. His name was Frankie. They kept him for a year. The mother decided she wanted the youngin' back, and they took it away from her. My mother had what they used to call a nervous breakdown, and she had a nervous breakdown and almost lost her mind. Well, when she got me, she did lose the rest of her mind, amen. But the truth of the matter is this. Listen, amen, yeah, I know. The truth of the matter is this. I got dropped off there, and I remember this. Anyway, after a certain length of time, the state comes back to check on you. They constantly do that. I remember looking up the road and seeing that state car coming down that dirt road to my house. I went up under the bed and hid. See, my parents had milk cows, and I could have all the milk I could drink. And so, I mean, I knew I had it made. I climbed up under the bed and hung to the springs. The lady got up there and said, "Jimmy, come on out so we can see you." I said, "Uh-uh. I'm not going with you. I'm not going with you." But then, and that was my home there. That's God had sent me there. And you ever thought about it? God takes care of us before we can take care of ourselves. But see, here's the problem. I had it made. My parents went to church, Brother Stacy, every Sunday. They took me to church. And we didn't have Sunday night. Sunday evening, there's a Methodist church. They only had Sunday morning. But when the door in that church was open, I was there. And my parents raised me in church, grew up in church. But sometime around 13, 14 years old, well, I started playing the guitar around 7 years old. And somewhere around 13 to 14, I wanted to be Glenn Campbell or I wanted to be ZZ Top or somebody. So I decided to live my life my way. Around 16 years old, I became rebellious to the parents who had gave me everything. Listen, some of y'all can identify with this. I know. This message, I didn't sit down and work at it for hours and hours, but it's in my heart. But listen, here's my point. I had everything in the world that money could not buy. I had a place to sleep. I had a roof over my head. I had two people that would care for me and look after me. And by the way, I wasn't even their own blood. I was adopted. You can drive that to your salvation if you'd like to. But here's my point. Listen, 16 years old, I decided to do what I wanted to do. Started playing rock and roll music. Started growing my hair. I had hair then. Hair down my back. Because I met the woman who'd be my wife later on. But I won't get into that today. Here's my point. Go with me, if you will, just for a few minutes. See, I got all the way down in the point there where I recognized years later in my life. Look in verse 18. Look what this young man said finally. He says, "I will arise and go to my father." Notice this. "And will say unto him, Father, I have done what? I've sinned against who? Heaven and before thee." And he says, "I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto the father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight, am no more worthy to be called thy son." Y'all know the verses. But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, a corpse, and is what? Alive again. He was lost and is found, and they begin to be merry." Now, I won't get into the eldest son. I believe the whole story really is about the eldest son. But honestly, here in the scripture today, every time I read this, here's my point. At 16, and 17, and 18 years old, I was rebellious. I've told this before. I graduated high school there, and I went into my mother was getting, they were getting ready to go to the graduation, little school I went to. I looked at my mother and I said, "I don't want you to go to my graduation. I hate your guts." You say, preacher, how do you... You know what? Evil is evil. And I had evil in my heart. This was a parent. This was a woman who bent over me and cared for me when I was sick at night, who put stuff in me, who gave me food to eat and clothes to wear. And yet, what do? I say, I'll just take what I got and I'll live like I want to live. My dad looked at me and he said, son, you have hurt your mother. I didn't care. I got in my car and I went to graduation. My parents came, by the way. My dad wore bib overalls and my mama wore an old long old dress down. And I thought they were old fogies. I thought they were just a bunch of stupid people who knew absolutely nothing. Now, how did I get from the point of an adopted kid whose parents that loved me to a kid that can just completely hate your parents that way? Can I tell you how I got there? The same way you did. See, I followed after the things of the devil. I like what Stacy said about music. Let me tell you something right now. A lot of these churches play all kinds of music. You can't understand what they're singing about. You can't understand. But you listen to the music and you think you're listening to any rock station you want to listen to. I'm going to tell you something right now. God ain't in that. That's free. I went down that road. I played that mess. I know what it sounds like. But here's my point. Here's where I'm at. And I want you to think about something. You know, the biggest regret I have. See, this young man was in the hog pen. You remember that story, hon? Remember the story? He was in the hog pen. You know what's in the hog pen, don't you? Slop, hogs, mire, mud, stinky, because hogs do that too. They're nasty animals. And he's laying in there eating the shucks. He's doing all that. And he looks up and he says, you know what? I can go to my father's house. The servants are better off at my father's house than what I've got. Think about that a minute. 1974, well, really 1973, the year I graduated high school, my dad came in, coming to meet my mom. He said, listen, I went to the doctor today, and I've got to go to the hospital on Monday. They're going to do a biopsy of my liver. They think something's wrong with my liver. They've been treating my dad for prostate problems. They didn't understand prostate problems back then, 1974. They give him some kind of pill or something or other. Probably had prostate cancer, probably spread to his liver more than likely. But anyway, he went to Cone Memorial Hospital in Greensboro, North Carolina, and they run it down into a liver, took a biopsy of his liver. 2 days later, 3 days later, they called the house and said, Mr. Lester, you've got stage 4 terminal liver cancer. You can take chemotherapy. That was when chemotherapy was not very good at all. It's still poison, but he went to one treatment. I'll never forget this. We had an old phone in there. Deborah remembers that old phone, heavy phone, back when phone had the dials on. Remember them phones? Had the old dials on. We had a party line too. And you know, there were three people on our line, amen. And these two widow ladies on the other end, and you could never get in there. I used to aggravate them. I'd pick up the phone and blow in it and make noise in it. And they'd call the house back and say, Rob, your boy's messing with the phone again. But my point is this. The guy said, Mr. Lester, you've got cancer. I watched a man that weighed about 225 pounds go down to 105 maybe. A man who had arms on him who could pick up the edge of this pew with no problem with you sitting on it. He could grab a 200-pound bag of fertilizer under each arm and carry it to a tractor. I watched a man shrink down to nothing. And I sit there, and you know what? And this is my point, this morning's message. Go back to this verse right here. You know what he asked for? Out of everything this man asked for, he could have said, "Hey, somebody come help me! Hey, mayor, president, somebody come help me!" Do you know what he does? Verse 18, he says, "I will arise and go to my father's. I'm looking for my daddy. I'm going back to my father. I'm going back." Now here's my point this morning, folks. Listen. I look forward to seeing my Savior one day. I really do. But I'm going to tell you, I look forward to going to my dad. See, my dad had to watch me go through the teenage years, and it broke his heart. I used to take my hair and do like this, like Fabio. Hard to believe, ain't it? My dad used to say, boy, why do you look so stringy? Why do you look so nasty looking? It's hard to believe. But you know what? He'd be proud of me now. My dad was fairly dark complected and had dark jet black hair, jet black eyes, and just don't look anything like me. Fairly tall, muscular looking guy. And I used to laugh when he'd come here and say, his name was Robert. They called him Rob. He'd say, Rob, your boy looks just like you. Your boy looks just like you. Amen? Now, you know what? That was a compliment. They were just complimenting you. Amen? I didn't look nothing like my dad. But listen, here's my point this morning. We're going to close with these thoughts. This young man here got to a point in his life. I got to a point in my life where I knew I was on the wrong road. See, I went to a church, but it wasn't one like the preacher told it like it is. They had a great message there, and you probably could have gotten saved if you had worked at it real hard. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. I ran into one of these, it was called an independent, fundamental, hellfire and damnation churches. And when that preacher preached, buddy, you thought he was mad at the world. And I knew one thing, but anybody been to one of them? I went in that place and I thought, something's wrong with me. Now, I didn't say something was wrong with them. I said something's wrong with me. The moment I walked in that church, I knew something was wrong with me. Nobody had to tell me that. I knew it. And I don't remember what that man even preached on. It could have been this message right here. But I'll tell you this much. I went to the altar that day. And I asked God to save me that day in 1977. And Brother Carl, he did. And that changed the course of my life, and it changed everybody. But here's my point. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? You know, my greatest regret, I have many of them. One of them is when I get to heaven. After I see the Lord, Brother Ricky, I'm going to go to my daddy. I'm going to say, Daddy, I'd have come a lot longer. I'd have come a long time ago. I'd have went to you, Daddy, and I'd have told you how sorry I was for how I acted. I was listening to Bill Roberts this morning, and they sang that song about John 3:16. Anybody hear that message this morning? I was in the shower, trying to get in the shower, and sitting in it. Everybody know I was sitting in there crying. Talks about John 3:16, about the little boy. He had something to eat because of John 3:16. Had something to wear because of John 3:16. You know what God is in his infinite wisdom? My dad died in 74. I remember all the stuff that he had, I had access to then. Did you know that? He had a closet where I couldn't go in. Inside the closet was guns, except for the ones that hung over the door. But inside there was a 9mm pistol. He took off a German, dead German, in World War II. 9mm high power, it's called. It's where your 9mm all come out of, that one pistol. I decided I wanted to go in there, and I my dad would never let me fool with it. I went in there, he had a clip in it still, with World War II shells in it. I took that pistol, took it outside. We had a big walnut tree in the backyard. Got it out there. I didn't even know how to do it. I finally got it cocked, finally saw it. The brass, it was brass, actually, and they were green. Should have been the indicator right there not to shoot it. But I got the thing in there, figured out how to get the safety off, and I pointed it at a walnut tree, and I pulled the trigger. It went like this, and just smoked. I thought, what a piece of junk. Now, I failed to look down the barrel of that 9mm. That thing fired just a little bit and put that shell about this far down the barrel. Now, I know that because when I finally got it apart, took it out, I had to take something to drive the bullet back out of it. Well, you know what? In my great brilliance, you know what I did? I pulled the trigger again. And it did the exact same thing. Now, I was 18 years old. I took that pistol, put it back in the drawer, and said, no wonder my daddy didn't want me to mess with this. It don't even work. Pushed the clock up 10 years where my brain finally engaged. I went back to that pistol. I went back to that time, and I went back to that, and I took that thing apart, and I looked at the one was down the barrel this far. The second one was right behind it. Do you know what would have happened had that second shell been a good shell? It would have blown up in my face. Now, can I tell you something? I deserve that. I deserved to die that day, just to be honest with you. But God, in his infinite wisdom, had mercy came a-running. But you know, my greatest regret is, I'll tell you, Miss Friendly, I was thinking about MZ. You got some grand youngins, you know. They're going to go running one day. Big old tall dude, man, about 6'3" or so. Bony legs. Ain't he? Going to go running after that man one day. I look forward to the day that I get to walk up to my daddy. And you know, you're going to say, what you going to do, Jimmy? I'm gonna hug his neck first. I'm gonna say, because my daddy wasn't somebody you told you didn't. I tell my kids I love them now. My dad wasn't one to do that. Now, did he love me? Absolutely. But his generation, you didn't express it. You just didn't express, "Daddy, I love you." But when I see him in heaven, I'm gonna say, "Daddy, I love you." Look with me one more time in Luke. You know, I think sometimes we fail to remember something. God is a God of second chances. By the way, third, fourth, fifth. How many of you probably got your load already loaded? You got so many you don't even know how to go. God is a God of many chances this morning. If you read the rest of this story, you'll find that what did the father do? You know, when our children come to us and they're genuinely sorry, you know how we react to them? When your children have done something, they come up to you and they say, "Dad, I messed up." Most of us, if you're the kind of man that you ought to be, you know what you do? You get down and you pick them up and you hug them and say, "Listen, it's okay." Even little Brantley, where's he at? Is he in here? He's in the nursery. Even little Brantley, you know, little Brantley got his first whooping from me back last year. Yeah, you got yours too. Do you remember when I give you one? Carter looked at me. I tell Carter first, and I'll give you Brantley second. Carter was in there and used to be in my office. It's now the playroom, and it's been a couple years ago. Anyway, I'm sitting there working on a computer, and Deborah told him something, and he talked back to her. Well, I just turned around and went right to his rear end. Boy, it shocked him. Shocked him half to death. His mama hadn't even gotten the door good, and he went and told her. You remember that, son? You remember that? I know you do. Little old Brantley, I was down at the creek. I've told this before. You know what? You know why I did that, Carter? You know why I did that, son? Because I love you. That's why I did it. It's hot in here. Brantley, though, was different. Brantley was down at the creek. He likes to throw stuff in the creek. And I told him I just put my garden stobs up. I had my garden. I was going to lay it off. And I watched him go over there. I had a row laid off there. I knew exactly where it was going to be. He pulled my stob up about this high. He just got through throwing rocks in the creek. So I walked over there. I saw he'd been throwing rocks and he had it stick. And I said, "Brantley, don't throw that in the creek." He looked at me like this. It's the truth. My yellow dog was sitting there. Her name is Lucky. She's a big pit bull crossed with something. She's sitting there. Anyway, I went down in the creek and got that stob about this long. And I know Ashley and Randy's in here. Brantley, you remember that spanking? Yeah, I thought you did. Anyway, I took that thing, which you put tomatoes up with, you know, about this high. It was only about this long, though, and I wore him out. Hey, buddy, he started crying and squalling and like he had died. And I looked at him, I said, "Brantley," the dog was laying there, the dog hadn't moved. I said, "Me and that dog don't really care. You don't disobey me." And you know what? He quit crying. Amen, I'm telling you the truth. Got up, sucked them boogers back, buddy, and anyway, I thought it was all over. We played, man. We had a good time and played. Anyway, I get back to the house, and Ashley walks in. Here he comes, buddy. "Mama, Papa." But you know what? One of these days, when we get to heaven, I don't know if I spanked the rest of them yet. I hadn't had a chance to on them hill kids yet, but I'll get to them sooner or later. Never know. You know what? But I'm going to tell you something. Here's my point. I deserved a whole lot more spankings than I ever got. My mama took me into church. She took me out 9 times in one service. They had these bushes out there. I forgot what they called them, but you could rake the leaves off of them. And they used to wear kids with little shorts. Little boys used to wear shorts to church in the summer. And she just blistered my legs, take me back in there and sit me down and say, "You listen." Done it 9 times. The 9th time, it engaged my brain. But can I tell you something? When the prodigal son went back to the father didn't whoop him. Did you hear what I said? The father didn't whoop him. See, that's grace. See, mercy came running to me. I got to thinking, I'm going to have them guys sing a song, whatever they want to sing here in just a moment. They're going to close our service. We're going to take up a love offering, though. Don't let me forget that. They'll be mad if I don't miss that. They won't be mad. They didn't come down here for money. They wouldn't have come to Fanning Road Baptist Church if they had have been. But can I tell you something? When I got on my knees before God, please listen to this and I'm done. When I got on my knees before God in 1977, I laid all my sin right out there. I said, God, this is me. And of course, God said, I already know you, Lester. I already know who you are. I already know what you are. But now you've got to recognize who my son is. And I bowed my head in 1977 on April the 17th, and I asked Jesus Christ to save me. Maybe you're here this morning, and they want every head bowed and every eye closed. And brothers, y'all get us a little song, will you do, please? Get us a song there. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Listen to me. Every single one of us this morning, whether you're a man or a woman, teenager, whatever you happen to be, you're headed down a road. Some of you are like me. You never got to talk to your father. You never got to look at your father. You never got to tell your dad, Dad, I'm sorry for what I've done. That is a deep regret that I carry today in my heart, because I want to tell my dad how deeply sorry I was for what I did and how I did it. And maybe you're here this morning and that resonates with you. Because your dad may not have been like, you may have had a dad that you didn't really care, but you need to go to him today. I understand that. Maybe you've got a situation right now where, you know, that fits your mold. I don't know, but I'll promise you one thing. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, there's a Heavenly Father standing right now waiting for you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't walk out of this little church building today lost. Because the Father's standing there looking at you right now. He's looking at you today. He's looking at you this morning. He knows where you're at. He knows who you are. And He knows what you're doing. Maybe right now you want to get up from your seat. They're going to sing through. Just a moment. Let's all stand. Brother, y'all sing us a song if you would. They're going to sing one more song. I'm going to leave the altar open right now for you. Let the Lord speak to your heart this morning. As God speaks, you let Him. You move today. Maybe things are not right now with your earthly father. Maybe things are not right now with your heavenly father. Maybe you're lost today. You just need to come to him today. Brothers, y'all sing. Y'all sing. Come this morning. Come. Come. Come on. Old-fashioned altar's open this morning. Come. Some have already come. Maybe you didn't have a daddy. I understand that. But you got a heavenly father. Maybe you didn't have the home life, but you got a heavenly father. Come to him this morning. Maybe things ain't where they should be with you right now. Come. Young lady, what about it this morning? You say, preacher, my daddy was sorry. Yeah, I understand that. I had one of them. Come on this morning. Come today. Coming home. Yes. Yes. Come today. Come. Listen to the song.